Welcome to our podcast. I am Linda Messer. My husband Ron and I invite you to join us in our weekly broadcast of A New Voice of Freedom. Welcome to Season 4 of A New Voice of Freedom, written by Ronald Keith Messer. This podcast is part of a series we call Stories of the New Testament, an appendage to a series of books written under the banner of In Defense of Christianity. Podcast 109, entitled Keeping the Sabbath Day Holy, examines Matthew chapter 12, 1 through 15.
During the time of Christ, the Pharisees and Sadducees, rejecting his divinity and seeing him as a threat to their power, sought early on to destroy the Savior. Before John the Baptist, a prophet had not been in Israel since Malachi, 400 years earlier. The Mosaic Law had become buried under layers of scholarly interpretations. One law that had particularly become corrupted was the law regarding the Sabbath day. The Jewish leaders used the law of Moses as a source of power. They particularly used the laws regarding the Sabbath day to justify killing the Messiah.
At that time, Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the corn, and his disciples were anhungered and began to pluck the ears of corn and to eat. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, "Behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day."
The Sabbath had become a burden with a long checklist of do's and don'ts. As with other laws, they had lost the spirit of the Sabbath and became slaves to the letter of the law defined by the leaders. Of course, it was not without precedent. Early on in their history, the following is recorded.
Numbers 15:32-36. And while the children of Israel were in the wilderness, they found a man that gathered sticks upon the Sabbath day. And they that found him gathering sticks brought him unto Moses and Aaron, and unto all the congregation, and they put him in ward, because it was not declared what should be done to him. And the Lord said unto Moses, "The man shall be surely put to death. All the congregation shall stone him with stones without the camp." And all the congregation brought him without the camp, and stoned him with stones, and he died, as the Lord commanded Moses.
I grew up in the South when we had Sunday Blue laws defining what could and could not be done on the Sabbath day. Such a law today, as defined by the Old Testament, would probably wipe out the world. It was this ancient tradition that the Pharisees and Sadducees used against Christ's disciples. But Jesus uses the example of the corn to establish the fact that he is Lord of the Sabbath. Using examples from the Old Testament, he teaches new doctrine regarding the Sabbath day.
But he said unto them, "Have ye not read what David did when he was an hungered, and they that were with him, how he entered into the house of God and did eat the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were with him, but only for the priests? Or have ye not read in the law how that on the Sabbath days the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless?"
Christ is establishing his authority.
"But I say unto you, that in this place is one greater than the temple. But if ye had known what this meaneth, 'I will have mercy and not sacrifice,' ye would not have condemned the guiltless. For the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath day."
As part of the New Testament covenant, Jesus teaches that serving others unselfishly, without intent to get gain, is a proper Sabbath day observance. Notice that the Savior is not doing away with the observance of the Sabbath day. Rather, he is redirecting the people's thoughts on how they should view the Sabbath day.
"And when he was departed thence, he went into their synagogue. And behold, there was a man which had his hand withered. And they asked him, saying, 'Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days?' That they might accuse him. And he said unto them, 'What man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep, and if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold on it and lift it out?' How much then is a man better than a sheep? Wherefore, it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath days. Then said he to the man, Stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it forth, and it was restored whole, like as the other.
This reveals the hypocrisy of the leaders and the corruption of their Sabbath day laws. Even under their stringent restrictions, it was not considered a violation to save a sheep. Common sense would appear to require that saving a human being was even more justified. But of course, they were not really interested in the spirit of the law. It was the letter of the law that gave them power, even over human life. They did not want to relinquish that power. Luke, recording the instance, adds the following.
And the scribes and Pharisees watched him, whether he would heal on the Sabbath day, that they might find an accusation against him.
The Pharisees were not interested in truth or even in the law of Moses. They were, as our politicians are today, searching for a crime to destroy whom they considered their enemy. Luke continues his description.
And they were filled with madness and communed one with another what they might do to Jesus.
The Apostle John records what has become one of the most famous events of Christ's healing. The response of the Pharisees is almost comical.
John 5:1-9. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there, which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie, and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed, and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath.
Here you have a miracle of the first order. A man had been crippled for 38 years, and no one regarded him. No one helped him into the pool. Every season he apparently waited by the pool, and always he was passed over. He appeared to receive no pity, no help, and no charity. One can only imagine, after 38 years, his state of mind, and suddenly he is healed. Rather than being astonished at the miracle, the Jews condemn him for carrying his bed.
And the Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, It is the Sabbath day. It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed.
It is extremely difficult to comprehend such absurd behavior. The one healed gives a simple, straightforward answer.
He answered them, He that made me whole, the same said unto me, Take up thy bed and walk.
Again, rather than seeking out Jesus in wonder of his power, they wanted to use the miracle as an excuse to destroy the Savior of the world. They aren't interested in the man that healed the invalid. They are interested in the man that told the cripple of 38 years to take up his bed and carry it with him. The Jews were so filled with the madness spoken of by Luke that they did not comprehend their own absurdity.
Then asked they him, What man is that which said unto thee, Take up thy bed and walk? And he that was healed wist not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place.
But the Savior did not lose interest in the man whom he had just healed. He sought him out. But what he said to him teaches a very profound lesson.
Afterward, Jesus findeth him in the temple and said unto him, Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon thee.
This is the only time that I'm aware of that Jesus actually connects the man's physical infirmity with sin. The Savior before was concerned for the healing of his body. Now the Savior is concerned for the healing of his soul. Indeed, the one healed did a strange thing, one could say an unconscionable thing. Rather than rejoicing and praising God and following the Savior, he went straight to those who wanted to kill Jesus and revealed his identity. His motive is unclear, but the results were catastrophic.
The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole, and therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him, because he had done this thing on the Sabbath day.
We do not know the rest of the story, but he put the life of his Savior in jeopardy.
But Jesus answered them, "My Father worketh hitherto, and I work." Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making him equal with God.
It is difficult to understand an environment where working miracles healing others would put one's own life in jeopardy. As we move back to Matthew's account, he records,
"Then the Pharisees went out and held a council against him, how they might destroy him."
Christ, however, had the courage of a lion.
"But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all."
But a haunting question remains. Why was the Sabbath day so important? The Savior did not diminish the importance of the Sabbath day. The Sabbath was first instituted during the creation story.
Genesis 2:2-3. "And on the seventh day God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made."
It was Jehovah, or Jesus Christ, who with his finger wrote the Ten Commandments on tablets of stone.
Deuteronomy 5:12-15. "Keep the Sabbath day to sanctify it, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee. 6 days thou shalt labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thine ox, nor thine ass, nor any of thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates, that thy manservant and thy maidservant may rest as well as thou. And remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord thy God brought thee out thence through a mighty hand and by a stretched out arm. Therefore the Lord thy God commanded thee to keep the Sabbath day."
Keeping the Sabbath day was a reminder to the children of Israel of their freedom from slavery. The Ten Commandments are called the Law of Liberty by James in the New Testament. Enormous blessings have been promised to those who keep the Sabbath day holy.
Isaiah 58:13-14. "If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shalt honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it."
To ride on the high places of the earth means they will not be held down in bondage or captivity to other nations. One could argue that the corruption of the Sabbath day resulted in their bondage to the Romans, the Babylonians, the Assyrians, and all the others. Many are perhaps familiar with the following promise regarding those who wait upon the Lord, which among other things refers to keeping the Sabbath day holy.
Isaiah 40:28-31. "Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that await upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint.
Again, keeping the Sabbath day holy is connected to freedom. There's another element of the Sabbath that is perhaps easy to overlook. It can, in a way, be compared to the rainbow. Remember the promise of the rainbow?
Genesis 9:13-16. I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass, when I bring a cloud over the earth, that the bow shall be seen in the cloud. And I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you, and every living creature of all flesh. And the water shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. And the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it, that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth.
A similar covenant is made for those who observe the Sabbath day.
Exodus 31:13. Speak thou also unto the children of Israel, saying, Verily, my Sabbaths ye shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that ye may know that I am the Lord that doth sanctify you.
The Lord, in speaking to Moses, continues.
Exodus 31:16-17. Wherefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations, for a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the 7th day he rested and was refreshed.
It is a symbol of sanctification, a covenant between man and God, and only through sanctification can we enter into the presence of God. As with the house of Israel, if America wants to return to its former freedoms, one of the first steps is to return to honoring the Sabbath day.
Thank you for listening. Watch for our next podcast.